Welcome back to the third hour of Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. We continue our conversation with Dr. Martin Nolan, talking about Luther's writing, Temporal Authority, to what extent should it be obeyed? One of these influential writings of Luther from the time of the Reformation. This conversation continues for about another 10 minutes. Phyllis Schlafly will then join us to round off, well, until the bottom of the hour. We'll be talking to her about Harriet Meyer's withdrawal as a Supreme Court nominee and what will happen next. When we talked with Phyllis about this last time, it was right after the president had nominated Harriet Meyer, and she was, I'll just say, fit to be tied. We'll see whether or not this has calmed her nerves and what she expects the president to do from this point on. Then in the last half hour, which soundbite, we've got four of them to play for you, which soundbite is the soundbite of the week? We play them, you vote on them, tell us why. The best caller will get a seat, a free seat, at our Issues Etc. 10th anniversary banquet. I'm looking at our website here at the photo gallery of the guests, the regular guests who are going to be at our 10th anniversary banquet. And Dr. Nolan, as I scan these faces of the likes of Pastor Matt Harrison and Lou Brighton and Reed Lessing and Pastor Mark Sell and Uwe Simonetto, you're one of the better-looking faces there. Not to be outdone by the guy at the top of the page, but you're one of the better-looking guys there.
Who is the guy at the top of the page?
just some radio talk show host. I'll tell you what, folks, if you have a glass of wine, turn down the lights and have an elegant evening with us, even these guys will start looking pretty good to you. We're celebrating 10 years of Issues Etc., our nationally syndicated program, Saturday, November the 5th, here on the campus of Concordia Seminary in Clayton. It's not far to go, and we look forward to meeting you there. Dr. Larry Rast will be our guest speaker. Come celebrate 10 years with us on this evening. If you want to make your reservation, there's a very easy way to do it. You call Jenny. Just ask for Jenny Williams, 314-505-7836, 314-505-7836. If you'd like to see that photo gallery and find out more information about our 10th anniversary banquet, just go to our website, issuesetc.org. All the information there is on our homepage. Dr. Nolan, before we went to the break, we just started into what Luther had to say about the duties of a Christian prince. Now, I've got down in my office a copy of Machiavelli's The Prince, written, well, more or less near this time period. And his advice for the secular prince, well, we get Machiavellian from that. A kind of a cutthroat political strategy, a pragmatism. You do what needs to be done, and that's the best way to rule the common people. How does this differ from Luther's advice to the Christian prince?
I think, as I said before, you could probably publish this part three, runs from page 118 to 129, as a small little treatise called The Christian Prince, because it's quite different from Machiavelli. And what Luther talks about, first point, as I said before, was that the prince must give consideration and attention to his subjects and really devote himself to that. So that's a quote from Luther there, that the whole purpose of the princely estate is to serve the people. And then he expands on that by, certainly there are many abuses of that. So, and in other writings, Luther talks about the prince being a father. You know, a father has authority over his children and household. But what does he do? You know, does he take advantage of his children? Certainly not a good father. A good father serves them in many ways. Those of you that have children know what I'm talking about. It's very true. Secondly, Luther says the Christian prince must beware of the high and mighty and of his own counselors, and so conduct himself toward them that he despises none, but also trusts none of them. I think that's very good advice. He talks about that even a man in business can think about this. If a person is in a managerial position, you have supervisors under you, you cannot entirely trust them. I mean, you need to be on site looking at what's going on. And this is really what he's saying. And it's good advice. And so the Christian prince is not to be led astray by those under him just because of his high ideals. Third, he says he must take care to deal justly with evildoers. And here he talks about justice, and particularly the issue of how does your effect of dealing with evildoers, what's the long-range influence of that? So he talks about, for example, the case of David, who had a commander by the name of Joab who killed unjustly two other generals or soldiers in the army. And David did not put Joab to death because he would fear that it would cause a revolution, because Joab has his own following. But he told Solomon when he died, that is when David died, Joab was to be executed, which Solomon put into effect. So what Luther uses, that is an example of how a prince should look at the long-range implications of any action that he does, and not just simply follow what might be just, but also if there's counterproductive activity from your action, then you perhaps need to restrain your hand. So there's a lot of good pragmatism in that. And then finally, he talks about how the prince must act in a Christian way toward God, that he must subject himself in entire confidence and pray for wisdom to rule as Solomon did. And so then he talks about those type of things, that God's or the prince's relationship toward God. Finally, he ends with a section about restitution, which is what the area we today would call simply the area of lawsuits and how we are to deal with that. And that would certainly apply to the area of jurisprudence and judges. And that then is the end of that particular passage.
Did Luther consider Christians, a Christian, better suited to serve in temporal authority than a non-Christian?
Yes, he does. He says that very clearly, that that Christians are to be preferred. And by that, he doesn't mean anybody that just claims to be a Christian, but those who hear Christ's word and want to obey it. These are the people that make the best rulers and commanders and judges, etc.
What are we to make of oft-quoted, and I do not think it is apocryphal, of Luther, that he would rather be ruled by a wise Turk than a foolish Christian? What do we make of that quote?
Well, there's the nature of the word foolish, and he's using the word Christian in the sense, I think, of there, because he's contradicting the or comparing the Christian with the Turk. This is a matter of cultural spheres. So the people in the West, Western Europe, were all, by law, they were Christians. But a foolish Christian would be not what he was looking at. So do you understand that distinction? It's a distinction between somebody who follows Christ and whose heart wants to obey Christ, as opposed to somebody who is simply a Christian according to culture or according to the law.
Would Luther recognize what has become of the notion of the separation of church and state? Would he recognize, first of all, kind of the radical separation of church and state that prevails in many, one might even say almost all of the West, with the exception of Great Britain or other countries where there are state churches? Would he recognize that as a legitimate thing? And then would he also recognize the impulse, particularly here in the United States, to erase any distinction in some areas between church and state?
Well, I think it would be difficult because for him to understand our system, because although he did not say that he made it very clear in this particular writing that the prince is not to condemn or put people to death because of what they believe, that there is a freedom of faith and of doctrine and confession and religious books are not to be burned. On the other hand, he does believe that the prince is to support the church in the sense of financial support, certainly, the election of good bishops. And he hopes he has a good prince who will elect good bishops. Of course, that doesn't always work out.
So he expected the prince to be a patron of the church.
Be a patron of the church. Now, here in the United States, the church is entirely, the state completely separated from that sense. They are not a patron financially, except in the sense of giving tax breaks. And that is significant. I don't want to neglect that. But I think he would be kind of puzzled. He'd sit down with President Bush and say, well, if you are Christian, as you say, why isn't the government supporting all these churches, especially in the poorer parts of town, that can't afford to support preachers? This would be a good question. And they'd have a good conversation about this.
So he was thoroughly a man of his time. I mean, democracy was yet to be born.
In this sense, yeah. The sense that there is a complete... See, I think it's more a matter of years of experience. And even the founding fathers of our Lutheran Church Missouri Synod, when they came here to the United States, they had seen the product of years where Christian princes abused their privileges and abused the church. And finally, they'd had enough of it, and that's why they came to the United States.
Finally here, Marty, with only 30 seconds, just give us a brief preview of Monday's conversation on Luther's famous The Bondage of the Will.
The Bondage of the Will is Luther's response to Erasmus of Rotterdam. And Erasmus was the great scholar and philologist, translator of the day. And Erasmus had, in some senses, encouraged the Reformation. But when Luther's break occurred, and specifically when the Pope disagreed with Luther, Erasmus began to backtrack and then was called upon to condemn Luther in a theological and sophisticated way, which Erasmus did, and this is Luther's response.
Looking forward to that conversation on Monday with you, Dr. Noland. Dr. Marty Noland is director of the Concordia Historical Institute here in St. Louis. Thank you for being our guest.
Thank you for inviting me again.
I believe without any question, when the history books are written about all this, that it will show that the radical right wing of the Republican Party drove this woman's nomination right out of town.
That is Minority Leader Harry Reid speaking today about the withdrawal of Supreme Court nominee Harriet Myers. Well, she's not a Supreme Court nominee anymore. She's just Harriet Myers again. Phyllis Schlafly joins us, president of the Eagle Forum, and author of several books, including The Supremacists, The Tyranny of Judges, and How to Stop It, to react to this morning's story of the president's withdrawal and to look ahead as to what the president will do now that he has no nominee and still a vacancy on his hands. Phyllis, welcome back.
Thank you, Todd. Good to join you.
Your reaction to Senator Reid's comments there about the extreme religious right driving Harriet Myers out of town?
Well, we were told that Senator Reid recommended her, so I guess he's all bent out of shape that his recommendation didn't go through. We were entitled to have a counterpart to Ruth Bader Ginsburg. And when we started out, we thought Harriet Myers didn't have a paper trail. But when her paper trail showed up, it appears she was a feminist. We already have one feminist on the court. We don't need another one. And her opinion about abortion was, it was very mixed, but she used the lingo of the Planned Parenthood types. And that's not what we want. And then the other thing is, she's just 60 years old, and she had never written anything about the Constitution. So we don't know whether she had any staunch judicial philosophy or not.
So how do you square that with what the president said when he announced her nomination some weeks ago? And the only thing I remember, but I remember it distinctly from his announcement there in the White House, was that Harriet Myers would serve as a strict constructionist.
Well, he didn't know that. And it really was, it's unfortunate that he played that game, because there is no evidence of that. As a matter of fact, in the speeches that from the 1990s that were just released yesterday, I think it was, she made some comment like, the court should step in regard to funding the public schools if the legislature hadn't done its job. Well, now that's the attitude of a judicial supremacist. And I think what this, I think there are a lot of good lessons we can learn from this. Conservatives are old-fashioned people who think when a candidate makes a commitment, he ought to fulfill it when he gets in office. And President Bush led us to believe that he would nominate somebody like Scalia or Thomas, and no way was she that. And then I think this was an amazing coming together of the conservative movement. All factions of the conservative movement came together and saying, this woman is not qualified to be on the Supreme Court, and she certainly doesn't reflect what we hope we would have, which would be a return of the court to interpreting the Constitution the way it was written and not the way somebody thinks it is evolving.
The White House is not commenting publicly on the withdrawal except to announce that it's taken place.
That's smart.
And how would you, if you were kind of writing a single paragraph history of this withdrawal. To what would you attribute the president's decision, a mutual decision, however this came about, the withdrawal of Harriet Myers from Supreme Court consideration?
Well, I think they counted up the votes and thought they weren't there. And I think the criticisms of her were just so really devastating. I mean, when she answered the questions of Senator Specter, she really didn't have a good understanding of the Constitution at all. Her background has been working in politics, supporting Bush, and in the American Bar Association, which is a left-wing organization, and on the Lottery Commission. And it's just hard to see how anybody thinks those are qualifications for being on the Supreme Court.
So how did she make it up for consideration in the first place?
She's a friend of President Bush. I mean, it's crony politics. That's what it is. He knew her, he liked her, and apparently she played up to him, did everything he wanted, but that doesn't mean he understands what she would do if, when faced with constitutional controversies. So I really feel sorry for her. I think she did not have what it takes to be out there with and face all that type of criticism, and I think the president was wise to withdraw her before there was any more embarrassment.
Well, all other things being equal, Phyllis, the president now has an opportunity to literally start over again.
That's right, he does.
What should he do?
Well, there's a very good list of judges, both men and women, who are out there, who have a track record, who have written decisions, and who have written law review articles and op-ed editorials that show that they have a consistent constitutional philosophy. And he should pick from one of those.
And for those who are saying, look, what's happened here is that the president has kowtowed, I mean, or given in, caved into the most extreme element of his base, how would you respond?
Well, actually, the most extreme element of his base was ready to trust him. I mean, I did a lot of call-in shows, and the most extreme element of his base were people who really thought they could trust him. I think they're going to have second thoughts the next time. No, he didn't kowtow to anybody. What he did was to save Harriet Myers from further embarrassment, and we hope now if he'll do any kowtowing, it's going to be to the pledge that he made before he got elected. We expect him to move the court toward respect for the Constitution. And that requires somebody very different from Sandra O'Connor, who voted twice for abortion, twice for gay rights, and twice against the Ten Commandments. And we want somebody who's got the intellectual fortitude to stand up to the liberals and to say, I'm an originalist. I believe in the Constitution the way it was written, not the way somebody's trying to evolve it.
Were their names on the short list during the Myers consideration, that is leading up to Myers' nomination? The rumor was people were dropping off of that list. The list was getting too small. He's kind of left with Myers. But were there people on that list that the president should reconsider now?
Oh, absolutely. And I never did believe that those people had taken themselves off the list. No lawyer is going to turn down the Supreme Court, for heaven's sake. That's the ultimate in the legal profession. And I never believed that they had taken them off to the list. So go back to them. And let's have the American people engaged in a real discussion about what's been going on in the courts. Another lesson we learned from this is that appointments are not going to solve all problems. We need Congress to pass laws taking away from the court any power to rule on those areas where we don't trust them. And I would start with the Pledge of Allegiance, the Ten Commandments, the definition of marriage, and the Boy Scouts. And you know, just last week, Congress took away from the court the power to rule on these lawsuits trying to hold the gun manufacturers responsible if some criminal goes out and kills somebody. And that is a clear example that the Congress has the power to set the jurisdiction of the courts, And a lot of areas where we just plain don't trust the court, and one more vote on the Supreme Court is not going to make that much difference. It's going to take another one before we really get a court that respects the Constitution. So this is why my book, The Supremacist, is more timely than ever before. It's an easy-to-read book. It talks about these issues in common-sense issues, ways, and what I hope as a result of this controversy over the nomination is that the American people understand that they can be engaged on the issue of what the out-of-control courts are doing to our country and why it is so important to have judges who respect the Constitution the way it was written.
With only about 15 seconds, one final question. If the president does what you hope he does, and if he does what he pledged he would do at the election, put up a strict constructionist, Scalia-Thomas type, can he expect perhaps another threat of filibuster to his nomination? And then we're again talking about the whole so-called nuclear option.
Well, the Democrats promised they weren't going to filibuster unless it was an extraordinary circumstance. And I think they're in a bind on that. And anyway, the Republicans have 55 votes, so they ought to be able to put it through. I also urge your listeners to go on my website, eagleforum.org, to get the latest update information.
Phyllis Schlafly, president of Eagle Forum, thanks for being our guest.
Have a good evening.
She's author of several books, including The Supremacist, The Tyranny of Judges, and How to Stop It. For more information on the book, go to her website, eagleforum.org, eagleforum.org. When we come back from this break, oh boy, I want to play Soundbite of the Week. Which soundbite? We're going to play four for you. Which one is the soundbite of the week? Our call-in number is 505-7850, 1-800-730-2727. We have one from Dr. Martin Nolan. We have one from Pastor Wolf Miller recently. We have one from Greg Laurie, who we interviewed recently as well. And we have one from President George W. Bush. We'll play them all for you. I want you to vote on which you think is best and why. And the best caller goes to the Issues Etc. 10th Anniversary Banquet on us. 505-7850, 1-800-730-2727. Open Lines is next. We'll play Best Soundbite right after this.
Contending for truth in an age of anti-truth. You're listening to Issues Etc.
Welcome back to the last 25 minutes of Issues Etc. I want to play Best Soundbite of the Week. That's what I want to do in the last 25 minutes. You know, we accrue an awful lot of sound here on Issues Etc. Not only the interviews that we do, but also bringing you audio from all over the place in the course of the many topics we address. And one of the things that, you know, we have our favorites. When we listen to sound bites, we say, wow, those are great. I've got a whole slew of them kept in my computer downstairs, ones that we bring out every once in a while because they're illustrative or they're particularly interesting for a various number of reasons. Now, you don't have to agree with the sound bites we're going to play for you. It may be the best sound bite because it simply was the most compelling or the most frustrating or the funniest or the most, some of them are just downright, what was that all about? And that might make it the best soundbite in your mind. This is your opportunity to vote. There are no wrong answers here. It's just which do you think is the best soundbite? We've got four, and I want you to vote when we hear them. 505-7850, 1-800-730-2727. Now, when you call with your vote on which is the best soundbite, I want to know why, of course. The best caller goes to the our Issues Etc. 10th Anniversary Banquet on us, a chance to meet all those guests, hear Larry Rass speak, and celebrate 10 years of the national syndication of Issues Etc. with us. All right, the first soundbite of the week comes from Dr. Martin Noland. He was on recently. We were talking about the 95 Theses. This was just earlier this week. And I asked him why Luther had written other things before the 95 Theses. Why did the 95 Theses cause such a ruckus?
He was hitting the development office of the church.
Striking at the church's coffers.
Yeah, striking at the church's means of making money. And they found...
One sure way to get yourself kicked out of a church. All right, this sound bite one. That's number one. You don't have to say one, two, three, four. You can say, I like the Noland or the 95 Theses one. 505-7850, 1-800-730-2727. Cut number two came from Greg Laurie, a conversation we had with him last week, and we played a better part of it early this week at the end of our conversation with this famous evangelist and television and radio evangelist. I asked him what he thought about what many people are saying, that is, he's the next Billy Graham. Here's part of his answer.
What do you think of Billy Graham, Todd?
I think Billy Graham is an admirable man, a tireless worker. He is a clear preacher of both God's law that condemns sinners and the gospel of Jesus Christ that saves them. He does leave the onus on the sinner to make his decision, with which I disagree.
Yeah,
but,
so you're coming from more of a Calvinistic point of view.
No, a Lutheran, actually.
Oh, okay, right.
Yeah.
Well, there you go.
There you go. That's cut number two, Greg Laurie. What do you do with a Lutheran? You just kind of say, all right, I guess you're coming from a Lutheran perspective. Is that your favorite cut? 505-7850, 1-800-730-2727, playing soundbite of the week. Those are just two, the Nolan cut, the Laurie cut. Here's number three. This is Pastor Brian Wolfmiller from earlier this week. In answer to the question on why bad things happen to good people.
Maybe instead of asking why do bad things happen to good people, we could ask why did a bad thing happen to the good person? And the answer to that now gets us right to the gospel. Because the answer of why the cross, the bad thing, and the suffering of God's wrath on the cross, why that happened to Jesus was because he loves us. He did it out of his great love and mercy and compassion for all people. And now asking the question, actually, instead of blaming God, we can now rejoice that God does love us and care for us. There is some comfort to be had, not in the bad things that happened to us, but exactly in the bad thing that happened to the Son of God on the cross.
All right, there's cut number three. Now, that's a jewel, isn't it? I mean, a jewel of clear theology, but you don't necessarily have to agree with these sound bites. Some are going to be best sound bite for various reasons. You pick the reason, but tell us why when you give us a call, 505-7850-1-800-730-2727. All right, here's the last sound bite for the day, and then we can start the voting at 505-7850-1-800-730-2727. President George W. Bush speaking at a military spouses luncheon on Islam.
The time has come for all responsible Islamic leaders to join in denouncing an ideology that exploits Islam for political ends and defiles a noble faith.
All right, there's the noble faith cut from President George W. Bush earlier this week. It's cut number four in our best soundbite of the week. I was going to say contest, but it is a contest. You get to vote. 505-7850, 1-800-730-2727. When you call, make sure you're ready to say why you picked the bite you did. Dr. Martin Nolan, reacting to the 95 Theses, he said the reason it was such a big problem, Luther was cutting into the coffers of the church. Greg Laurie, not really wanting to talk about Billy Graham. His response to the fact that he's the next Billy Graham. Pastor Brian Wolfmiller on why bad things happen to good people, or George W. Bush on Islam, the noble religion. 505-7850, 1-800-730-2727. Let's go first to Steve, who calls from his car. Steve, you're the first one. Which is the best soundbite of the week?
That's a hard call. I'm going to take the first one. And here's why. Things haven't changed in a couple of hundred years, have they? Because, and I'm going to use you as an example. When you started really getting into, let's say, the purpose-driven life, you got a lot of people bent out of shape, and I'm sure the good folks at Zondervan weren't too happy because it's a cash cow. And Martin Luther, you know, basically using the Bible to go after their cash cow, and a lot of Christians, they say, well, it must be good, it's selling a lot.
All right, Steve, that's a good reason. Steve votes for number one. Martin Nolan reacting to the 95 Theses question. Let's talk with Rob, who calls from his car. Rob, welcome. Which is the best soundbite of the week?
Well, I also am going to go with number one. And my reason is that there's a saying that if you want to find out what's really at the heart of the matter, you follow the money. And unfortunately, the church isn't really any different from the secular world. When you look at the church growth movement, some of the word faith fellowships, the whole focus really is on large numbers, which also translates into large dollars. So I would vote for number one for that reason.
All right. Thank you very much. So he enjoys the insight in Dr. Nolan's answer that what really, I mean, was it a theological agreement at first? No. What Luther was really doing was he was striking at the development office of the church when he questioned indulgences. 505-7850, 1-800-730-2727. Chris is up next. He calls from his car. Hi, Chris.
Hey, how are you guys today?
Very well.
I have a vote for the best and the saddest, but I'll start with the best.
Okay. They're two different ones?
Yes, sir.
Okay. All right.
I think the relevant question is not why do bad things happen to good people. The relevant thing to remember is what Christ taught us, that there is no one good but God alone. We're all sinners in a fallen world, and things happen. And I think when we start calling ourselves good people, we put ourselves in a position that I don't know that God intended for us to regard ourselves.
Right, and that's exactly what Pastor Wolfmuller had to say in that response. Is that your vote for the best?
That's my vote for the best.
What's the saddest?
Well, the saddest is our president who misunderstands the first commandment of thou shalt have no other gods. There are not 25,000 perfectly valid ways to get to God. There is one, and he goes around affirming every faith as equally valid, and that's just pantheism.
Chris, thank you very much. All right, so Chris kind of snuck in his saddest vote. That's not the question for you, but the rest of you, I'm asking for the best. And, you know, you could have said, well, I'm voting for it as best soundbite because I found it most infuriating, or I found it most depressing, and that's why it's the best soundbite, one that everyone should hear. That's kind of what I'm looking for. Everyone should hear this one. Which is it? Is it Dr. Martin Nolan talking about the real problem with the 95 Theses? Is it Greg Laurie's response to the fact that he might be the next Billy Graham? Is it Brian Wolfmuller on why bad things happen to good people? Or is it President George W. Bush commenting earlier this week on Islam? 505-7850, 1-800-730-2727. Two votes for cut number one, Dr. Martin Nolan. One vote for Pastor Brian Wolfmiller on why bad things happen to good people. Let's talk with Diane, who calls from St. Louis. Hi, Diane.
Hi, Todd. I'm going to get Lori and Bush beat around the bush. And Martin Nolan does zero in, but I vote for number three because he delivers the goods about it's most thought-provoking, and that's what Issues is all about.
All right. All right, Diane, thank you very much. Now, there's an insightful listener. Now, not all of these are straight up our alley. We just pick them because we think, wow, let me listen to that one again. You know, we do a lot of audio production, so we sit down there, we listen to a lot of sound bites from news services and things like that. And when you come across something, you say, that, let's listen to that again. That's a keeper. You throw a lot away, but you keep the ones that are gold. I'm asking you, which of these four, here at the end of this week of Issues, etc., which of these four is gold? We're playing best sound bite of the week. Our call-in numbers, 505-7850. 1-800-730-2727, and the best caller, I'm going to somehow keep track of this. I'm leaving that up to you. I'm handling the callers. You just figure that one out. I'll leave that to my producer. Best caller, yeah, sure. I can delegate any authority I want to. I pass the authority of this decision to you. Best caller is going to go to our Issues, Etc. 10th Anniversary Banquet on us. Now, that's a $50 value. You'd normally pay 50 bucks a plate to get into that banquet coming up on Saturday, November the 5th. You'll go free if you're the best caller, 505-7850, 1-800-730-2727. Let's play the two that got the top votes so far. Let's start with number one, Buzz. Let's hear from Dr. Martin Nolan on the 95 Theses.
He was hitting the development office of the church.
Striking at the church's coffers.
Yeah, striking at the church's means of making money. And they found...
one sure way to get yourself kicked out of a church. All right, that's a soundbite that's got two votes so far in our Best Soundbite of the Week contest. 505-7850, 1-800-730-2727. This is neck and neck with it. It's soundbite number three. It comes from Pastor Brian Wolfmiller on why bad things happen to good people.
Maybe instead of asking why do bad things happen to good people, we could ask why did a bad thing happen to the good person? And the answer to that now gets us right to the gospel. Because the answer of why the cross, the bad thing, and the suffering of God's wrath on the cross, why that happened to Jesus was because he loves us. He did it out of his great love and mercy and compassion for all people. And now asking the question, actually, instead of blaming God, we can now rejoice that God does love us and care for us. There is some comfort to be had, not in the bad things that happen to us, but exactly in the bad thing that happened to the Son of God on the cross.
All right, that's number three. Want to vote for it? 505-7850, 1-800-730-2727. Best soundbite of the week. To be fair, let's go up to Greg Laurie and his response to my question, are you the next Billy Graham?
What do you think of Billy Graham, Todd?
I think Billy Graham is an admirable man, a tireless worker. He is a clear preacher of both God's law that condemns sinners and the gospel of Jesus Christ that saves them. He does leave the onus on the sinner to make his decision, with which I disagree.
Yeah,
but,
so you're coming from more of a Calvinistic point of view.
No, a Lutheran, actually.
Oh, okay, right.
Yeah.
Well, there you go.
It's the well, there you go cut. We should have just cut it down to, well, there you go. But that's so short, people hardly get the gist of it. You kind of had the context there. Is this your pick? 505-7850, 1-800-730-2727. And our president, speaking earlier this week to a group of military spouses on the subject of Islam.
The time has come for all responsible Islamic leaders to join in denouncing an ideology that exploits Islam for political ends and defiles a noble faith.
All right, nobody's voted for that one except Chris, who voted for that as saddest soundbite of the week. Is it your best soundbite of the week for the same reason? 505-7850, 1-800-730-2727. Ellen is calling from Baldwin. Hi, Ellen.
Oh, hello, Pastor.
Hello.
You know, Mr. Laurie, he's the that's the one that I would go for, because when you asked him what he thought, when he asked you what you thought of Billy Graham, in just a few short, very kind words, you witness for what we believe. And that sort of, my ears really perked up on that. And then his, oh, well, at the end, I like the way that program, the note it ended on. And I'll hang up and listen.
All right, Ellen, thank you very much. And thank you for that kind, those kind words of yours as well. Okay, she votes for the Greg Laurie cut, which is number two. All right. So far, we've got two votes for Dr. Martin Nolan saying that the 95 theses were simply cutting into the coffers of the church. We've got two votes, Chris and Diane, voting for Pastor Brian Wolfmiller's comment on why bad things happen to good people. And then Ellen, she likes number two, not so much for what Pastor Laurie had to say. You know, this is an interesting interchange. It was very Joyce Meyer-esque. Remember when we had our conversation with Joyce Meyer some months back, and we got to the point in the conversation where I presented the gospel to her in a very, I tried my best to present it in a clear way, and I said, what do you make of this? And her response was something to the effect of, well, I guess that's all right if it works for you. That's kind of the point we got to with Greg Laurie, too. So you're coming from a Calvinist perspective. No, it's Lutheran. Oh, okay, Lutheran. Well, there you go. There's no account for you crazy Lutherans. When, you know, I'd asked about whether or not he was going to be the next Billy Graham. 505-7850, 1-800-730-2727, the best caller. Call and tell us why you think it's the best soundbite, best caller. We're giving away a reservation to our Issues Etc. 10th anniversary banquet, a $50 value, coming up Saturday, November the 5th. I'll be there emceeing, of course. Dr. Larry Rast will be there speaking. And many of the regular guests you hear on Issues Etc. will also be there waiting to meet you and the other listeners. 505-7850, 1-800-730-2727. Don from South St. Louis, welcome to Issues Etc.
Yeah, Todd?
Yep.
I vote for Greg Laurie.
All right, a number?
Why
is that?
Well, I think it was the best. The first time I heard it, I shook my head, and I finished the line when he said, there you go. I said, yeah, another one of those crazy Missouri Synod Lutherans to think Jesus did it all on the cross.
You know, I think that's very succinct. Thank you very much, Don. Thank you. Put a star next to Don's name, because I think he hears what that little interchange was really all about. What it really was about was, you know, well, you have your truth, I have my truth. And I can't deal with your truth. I don't want to deal with your truth. I should have. Remember in the Ted Haggard interview? He started talking about how Martin Luther might have gone off in some ways and gone down the wrong road. And I just said, look, as a Lutheran, I got to know, how did he go wrong? He said, not going to do it, not going to do it, not going to bite on that one. And, you know, we had a nice cordial interchange. He would not criticize. I should have asked Greg Laurie. I should have said, when he said, there you go, I should have said, well, what does that mean? You've just discovered I'm a Lutheran. Does that mean the interview's over? Does that mean we can't talk about Billy Graham? Does that explain everything to you about why I've been asking you about sin and grace and the full sufficiency of Jesus' death and resurrection? Maybe it did. 505-7850, 1-800-730-2727. Roland, hey, he's going to be there at the banquet.
Yeah, how you doing?
Hi.
Well, I like Dr. Nolan, but I'm going to have to go with Greg Laurie.
All right.
Because you asked him about Billy Graham, an iconic figure in contemporary American evangelicalism, in some regards maybe a deep thinker for American evangelicalism, not necessarily including Lutherans in that category. And when you say, well, do you think you're the next Billy Graham, the deepest theological thought he can come up with is, well, there you go. Kind of shows you the condition of American evangelicalism.
It might be indicative there.
And that's the approach to all their theology. You confront them with something challenging or something that takes them out of their contemporary paradigm, and they just say, well, there you go. I'll believe what I like, you believe what you like.
All right, thank you very much, Roland. You know, Roland could hardly be the best caller, even though that was very insightful, because we're giving away a seat at our Issues, Etc. 10th Anniversary Banquet, and he's already, well, I guess we could comp him a seat on that, since he's already decided he's going to come. All right. Do we have time? I don't think, no. Let's do this. By a narrow stretch, and we only allowed about 20 minutes for this, but by a narrow stretch, to my surprise, the Greg Laurie bite won.
What do you think of Billy Graham, Todd?
I think Billy Graham is an admirable man, a tireless worker. He is a clear preacher of both God's law that condemns sinners and the gospel of Jesus Christ that saves them. He does leave the onus on the sinner to make his decision, with which I disagree.
Yeah,
but
so you're coming from more of a Calvinistic point of view.
No, a Lutheran, actually.
Oh, okay, right.
Yeah.
Well, there you go.
That was the end of the interview, and that's the best soundbite of the week, according to our listeners. Thank you very much for everyone who called: Steve, Rob, Chris, Diane, Ellen, Don, and Roland. I'm feeling generous. Don, give us a call back. I'm going to send you to the Issues Etc. banquet, the 10th anniversary banquet, absolutely free. And also, Diane, you as well. Give us a call back, 505-7850, 1-800-730-2727. We'll give away two seats. You guys don't have to sit next to each other at the Issues Etc. 10th anniversary banquet, Saturday, November the 5th, here in St. Louis. We're celebrating 10 years of the national syndication of Issues, Etc. You need to reserve your place soon because the spots are filling up. I just filled up two. All right? So we've only got less than 70 left. I think 68 left at this point. And that means you need to call and reserve 314-505-7836. Ask for Jenny, 314-505-7836. And ask Jenny about the Issues, Etc. 10th anniversary banquet. It's Saturday night, November the 5th, coming up here in St. Louis, starting about 5:30. We'll have a great time of fellowship, a great meal. You'll meet some of our regular guests. You'll get to hear Dr. Larry Rast speak and celebrate these 10 years of God's blessings with us. 314-505-7836 is the number to call or go home tonight. Go on the online to our website, issuesetc.org, and you'll find all the information you need on our Issues, Etc. 10th anniversary banquet. Tomorrow on the program, Effeminate Christianity. Dr. Aaron Wolf will be talking about that for 2 hours, a compelling conversation. Then Saturday night, the Doctrine of Justification. It's Sunday night on Issues, Etc. I should know this after 10 years. Sunday night on Issues, Etc., the Doctrine of Justification with Dr. Rod Rosenblatt, 10 o'clock on 91.5 FM here in St. Louis.
Listen weekday afternoons to Issues, Etc. Issues, Etc. is a listener-supported program. Your financial support is critical for the continuation and expansion of this worldwide outreach. Our address is 85 Founders Lane, St. Louis, Missouri, 63105. You can donate by credit card on our resource line,
1-800-737-0172. 1-800-737-0172. For a free audio copy of this hour of Issues Etc., please visit the audio archive section at KFUO.org. Opinions expressed are not necessarily those of AM 850 KFUO. Issues Etc. is a broadcast service of the Lutheran Church, Missouri Synod.